Welcome to episode 34 of the Mile 62 podcast. I'm your host, Richard Elkins, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Great weather going on these last 2 weeks in Austin. Today, this morning, I went out for about a 10-mile bike ride. Just cool enough where I need to wear a long-sleeve shirt, but great biking and running weather. This week, I've done just a little bit of running. My right foot is beat up again. Not sure really what's wrong with it. It's not a stress fracture. I think it's just arthritis. You know, I'm 53 years old. Or osteoporosis. I can't even say it right. As the doctors have told me before, they told me that about my knees and my legs and all that. Oh, well, it's not going to keep me from my adventure sports and ultra running. The strange thing is, once I start running a little bit or biking a little bit, it doesn't hurt, but some days it hurts. I guess it didn't help. I was deadlifting yesterday, so I do a lot of weightlifting, and then I've got a new sit-up bench, which it's pretty tight when I lean back. Maybe the cushions that I got are not big enough, but that may have put a little bit of stress on my right foot. I'm not sure. I was doing some ab work. But I'll get over it. I did deal with it all the time. This podcast, I'd like to talk about the Jalapeno 100, 100 miler. So this is kind of a race recap and let you know how it went. This race took place the first weekend of November. And I guess I'm about 2 weeks out from there now. And went pretty well. Interesting thing was, I guess, it was kind of a spontaneous race. You know, 2 weeks before that, I did the Cactus Rose 150, and I pulled out at 50 miles because I was just not, just like I said in my previous podcast, I was just not doing very well physically. And so 2 weeks later, after a 50 miler, I felt good, and have a huge credit with Trail Racing Over Texas. $400 or plus. They canceled so many races this year. So I was thinking I'd like to do something because they canceled the December race that I have, the Brazos Bend 100. And I said, well, I'd like to do something. So in the Jalapeno 100, it takes place out at Cat Springs, Texas. And that's the same course that the Habanero 100 is in August. And Habanero 100 is, you know, the hottest race in Texas. You know, it starts at 12 noon. And it's above 100 degrees most of the daylight hours. Well, it was canceled this year and replaced by this Jalapeno 100. And the Jalapeno 100, the plan is it will never happen again. So I wanted to go out and do it, and because it's not going to happen again. And I just, the timing was good. My December race was canceled. At least that's the excuse I gave myself. Who knows? I'll probably find some race in December to do now. But, I registered for it on the Friday, and the race is on Saturday. And I'm glad I did. It turned out to be great. Unfortunately, it does start at 12 noon, just like Habanero, and that really wreaks havoc on you, because if you get up early every day like myself, and plus you have to drive out there, so basically I was up 4:30 that morning. Race started at 12 and ended up taking me 28 hours, so... And then after the race, I drove home because my legs hurt so much. It's not like you can sleep or something. So I was up almost, 35 hours. Yeah, so I was pretty tired that Sunday night. Anyways, the race was on Saturday, and gear going into the race, I felt good. I was wearing my Ultra Olympus 4s like I have for a long time. It's my go-to shoe. I also brought some Temps, Ultra Temps, and two different versions of Temps as backups. I didn't ever use them. I almost never change shoes or socks during a race. Just, I don't want to, I mean, your gaiters and your socks are so dirty. You know, you take them off. It takes a long time, and I just don't see any benefit in it unless I got them wet or something. I used my... my Injinji toe socks. I've gotten some Exoskin toe socks, but I think they're a little bit thin. I'm still trying to get used to them. But I prefer my, you know, Injinji makes three different types of toe socks. They make the regular road version, they make the trail version, and the ultra version. The ultra versions are hard to get. You have to order them direct. They used to sell them in REI, but they don't anymore. But I've got a lot of the trail versions, which are kind of the medium thickness. I really like those a lot. So I wore those. I wore my Exoskin shorts, which I've been very happy with. I've got several different, their compression shorts, and then I've got the some of the three-quarter length ones as well. I'm not sponsored by Injinji or Exoskin, but I really like their products. And I brought their Exoskin shirt that goes past the elbow. The plan was to wear that during the evening hours, which I did, and I wore one of my tank tops. It's more of like a sleeveless tank top that I've worn in almost all of my races. I've got a couple of them. I wore that during the day. I'm glad I did, because I had thought about putting on my Exoskin top and just roughing it out during the heat of the day. I say heat of the day, it is November, but it actually got pretty hot. It got probably in the high 80s during the day. So we started at 12 o'clock, and I was wearing my my Ultra Aspire vest, and which I have been doing for a long time. They're one of my sponsors. Big shout out for them. I use their lighting and also their hydration vests exclusively. And also Squirrel's Nut Butter, one of my sponsors. I use them for anti-chafing, which became very important out there because it did get hot during the day. And then at night, it was quite unusual, which I'll talk about in a minute. But the first lap took off, you know, starts at 12 noon. It was kind of cool. It wasn't too hot. And these laps are 10K, 6.2 miles. So it's the same course as the Habanero. I say same course, and even the race director said, hey, this is the same course, but actually they changed it a little bit. What they changed was during the first half a mile, there was some clearing done by the ranch, 7IL Ranch. So some of the single track through some of the brush is gone now. So you basically go in the same area, but it's all torn down, which is good because I think that's the only part of the whole course I've ever seen a snake on, is because it's kind of, it's real sandy and there's a lot of brush. But they ripped all that out. So the first, I say half mile, probably first, first half mile is a little bit different. They've ripped all the brush out, which makes it a little bit faster. Then you come around where you cross the main road coming into the 7IL Ranch. And something very interesting happened that I've never seen out there happen before. Now keep in mind that I have raced out there. I've done the Habanero 50K. I've done the Habanero 100K. So that means I have raced this loop 15 times before this race. And this race is 100 miles, so that's 16 loops. So that means I've ran around that 6 mile loop a total of 31 times in the last 2 years. Kind of amazing, think about it. But anyways, we come up on the road coming into 7IL Ranch, and what happens? Very interesting, about 10 people go the wrong direction. They turn left instead of turning right going across the road. And I thought the markings were pretty clear. And it made me even think twice about it. But I had run the route so many times, I knew they were going the wrong way. So I yelled out at this two runners that were in front of me. I said, hey, you guys are going the wrong way. I started screaming at them and all that. They didn't hear me. You know why they didn't hear me? Because they had music in their ears. Y'all know how I feel about music on a trail run. It just shouldn't happen. I mean, you need to become part of nature. I mean, you have enough snake encounters and other wild animal encounters, you'll realize that having music in your ear on a trail run is a bad idea. Now, I do use music when I run in my neighborhood, sometimes on the trails, but I mean, I'm dealing with dogs. I'm not dealing with cars or anything. So anyways, they didn't hear me, so they went the wrong way. They basically looped to the left, which takes you back to the start-finish line. Some of them were pretty fast runners, and they caught up with me, and that, you know, we chatted about them going the wrong way. But I said, you know, I knew they were going the wrong way because I've run that course so many times, and the race director said it's the same course, so I knew I was going the right way. Then there was another section along a fence line where it would be a shortcut if you went the wrong way, and a couple people did that too. They weren't paying attention to the signs. Now, we'll have to say that Trail Racing Over Texas didn't mark the course as well as they usually do. What I mean by that, they do have their signs. I've actually went the wrong way on one of their other races, you know, cow ate the sign or something, I don't know. But Trail Racing Over Texas, they like to use a lot of like yard sign sticks and arrows and stuff like that, which I think are good. But I think you also need to hang the confidence markers from the trees. Tejas Trails does a good job of that. And what confidence marker is, it's basically a ribbon that, you know, it's reflective at night, so your headlight, your lights will make them shine at night. But I think it's important to use both of them. But there were two places on the course where people were going the wrong way, and I think after the first loop, they got it right. Another thing that was different than Habanero, they usually have three aid stations, and I think that's, and one of them is kind of just an ice station. That's mainly because it's in August, and, you know, it's very, very hot that time of year. Because of the corona and the cooler weather, they only had two aid stations, and I think that was more than enough, because actually, I was wearing a hydration pack, and in hindsight, maybe I should have gone with two bottles, because my back started hurting me really late in the race. And you know, when I first started trail racing, I always used two bottles, kind of the Jim Walmsley way. And one of my friends does that all the time too, and I'm gonna try that again. You know, there are people out there like Carl Meltzer is always saying the biggest thing that a lot of ultra runners do wrong is they carry too much shit. And I think I'm guilty of that. I mean, I've got extra batteries and this and that and this and that. Probably don't need to carry all that stuff, especially when it's a 10k loop. I didn't think about it too much. Now, if it's a point-to-point race or it's a 50-mile loop or something like that, it's a little bit different. But I think I'm going to go back to trying to use two bottles that have the pocket on it so you can carry some gels. I usually do that during the summer races with the night races. But I'm going to try that again. I've got Bandera coming up, Bandera 100K in January, and I got Rocky Raccoon 100 miler in February. And I think I'm going to use bottles on those races. I don't want to take the weight down. I want to try some things different, see if it will help me improve even more. But anyways, the first loop went pretty painless. I cruised through it, I think in about an hour. It was pretty fast, and probably too fast, being that I needed to do it 15 more times. The second loop was, the wheels kind of came off. My stomach was bothering me. I was eating one of those gels that that come from India that all the pros are using now, and I probably shouldn't have. I'm going to throw the rest of them away. It's supposed to be really good. I'm not going to mention their name. I don't get any hate emails from them, but really messed up my stomach, and one of the few times in an ultra race I have to go to the toilet. I had to go to the toilet. I mean, I was messed up. And anyways, after that happened, I kind of had a good reset, and my third lap was good. Third lap was coming around. It was starting. The sun was starting to go down, and then my fourth lap was at night. I did pretty well. I remember around mile 33 or 34 or something like that when I was coming in, I think maybe the fourth loop, I was in sixth place, which, you know, sixth place male, I should say. There were some women pros that were ahead of me, but sixth place male, and that got me really excited, and I was like, man, I might be able to get top 10, and so I kept pushing, and then ended up getting out to like a ninth place on the next lap, and I was a little bit bummed because I didn't remember anybody passing me, so maybe it was kind of a freak thing that it said I was M6, which means sixth place male. But I kept chugging along and feeling pretty good. I didn't bring many gels or anything, and I also didn't bring the Perpetuum packets, which I think did me in at Cactus Rose. I threw all those away. I used to be big on that, and some other big podcasts always talking about Perpetuum from Hammer. I'll never use that stuff again. I think it messes me up. It's some sort of maltodextrin rice product, and I like rice a lot because, you know, my wife's Chinese. We eat a lot of rice, and I have for many, many, many years, but It just doesn't work for me. Anyways, I ate a lot of real food, even though it was kind of skimped down a lot because of the Rona. You know, it's prepackaged food, and they did have some quesadillas, and during the night hours, they had the cups of mashed potatoes. I really like those. It was an instant mashed potatoes, which worked fine, but that really does well for my stomach during the night hours. But just kept pushing along. I was using two lights, waist light and a hand light. And later in the night, it started drizzling. And I shouldn't say drizzling. It was more like a mist, a heavy mist and a really heavy fog. And I was struggling with my waist light. So I switched to a headlight and a hand light. And that worked much better. And really pushed on through the night. I felt pretty good. And I kind of kept my same position in the race. And then as the daylight came out, I think I had 3 or 4 laps left. And I was pretty beat up. Maybe I ran the first part of the race too fast. So I started using my poles. And it was kind of cool. We were lucky. It was overcast and foggy. And was able to run in no heat, I think, until the last two laps. The last two laps got very hot. It was about 3 in the afternoon, and they're pretty rough. My last lap, I had to basically not even hike. I was walking, and one guy passed me, which probably a mile from the finish, and that kind of bummed me out. I was just happy to finish. I did PR my 100-mile time. I improved by about 1 hour. My previous one was at Javelina, and it was about 1 hour slower. And if I didn't have to really walk that last lap, I probably could have PR'd by 2.5 hours. So overall, it was a great day. I was happy to finish it, and was happy to PR. And I ended up getting 7th place because there were a lot of DNFs. Probably half the people on the race DNF, and I got 7th place male and first place in my age division. I think overall in the race I got 10th. There were some really super females out there racing, the kind of semi-pro. There were some from Colorado, one from Colorado, and one from California. One of them got like, I think 3rd overall or something like that. Anyways, I was happy. I was happy with my performance. I know I can do better. And that's my, you know, it just keeps motivating me to get better. So I'm lifting a lot of weights this month. I've been on the bike a lot. Just trying to get energy back in my legs. They're healed up. My legs actually healed up pretty fast because I do active recovery. So I was on the bike the next day after the race, but I had a lot of trauma in my feet. They really got swollen and beat up. So I think I didn't run until 5 or 6 days after the race. And this is the second week. I ran one day this week, and when I ran, I just didn't have much energy. I just think I'm still trying to recover. I'm talking about energy in my legs. Just didn't have any snap, you know. So I got back on the bike, and I've been biking a lot this week. I think I've got like 40 miles, and probably have it's Friday, and probably will have close to 150 miles by the end of the weekend. So doing a lot on the bike, just to toss it up, and doing a lot of weightlifting. I got some more equipment that came in, but my goal is to build up my strength more, especially in the core and in the back. And my back started hurting me, my neck, I think because of the hydration pack. I'm going to toss it up some. So in Bandera, I'm going to try to use 2 bottles, and then may do the same thing in Rocky Raccoon. Rocky Raccoon, not last year, but the year before, I DNF'd, just made it 3 laps. I made it 100K, basically. I made it 60-some miles, and I ran into problems. And, of course, that was 2 years ago. So this year I'm going to try to finish. It's a tough race. People, you know, you read about it online. A lot of people come from out of state and all that. They think it's an easy race, but they get a rude awakening because it's not a really hilly course, but it's in the Bayou area near Houston. It's actually in Huntsville. And so there's some swampy areas when it gets close to the lake. So there's huge sections that are all mud. And that really drains you when you're running, especially at night. You come to these sections, and I'm talking about 25 yards of mud to try to get across. And they got small trees and stuff. You know, you can't, there's nothing to grab onto. So, you know, running across mud is an art. I've never learned it. I have to see these pros run across those sections full speed. I don't know how they do it without breaking their ass. But anyways, it's a muddy, can be cold course, but I'm looking forward to it. I'm gonna go into Bandera this year. It'll be my fourth time racing Bandera, third time on the regular course. I ran 1 year, ran it in J&J, and then Rocky Raccoon. This will be my second attempt on that one. But I plan on racing almost every month in 2021. Hopefully this corona bullshit will stop. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And you know, during the Jalapeno 100, that was an issue. You know, he really had a lot of safety protocols. You know, we had to wear the, you know, the, I can't remember the name, you know, the hoodie, the bandana type of thing you can put on your neck. I can't remember it for a second. You know, you can pull it up over your nose when you go into aid stations and stuff like that. But the trouble is, it gets wet. You know, you're sweating the whole race. So you're pulling up this sweaty thing over your face. And to be honest, you know, I'm really good about wearing a mask. I mean, I wear a mask when I take my children to school, even though most of the parents are not. And then, you know, if I'm in a store or anywhere outside, I wear a mask. But when you're in a race, you get beat up and you get tired. There were a couple times where I'm in the aid station and I was getting something. People are looking at me weird, and I realize I don't even have my mask on. You know, you just get tired and your brain's tired. You know, so I think there is some danger for everyone. And, you know, I think that's one of the reasons a lot of races are getting canceled. And to be honest, in the beginning of the race, the 100K and the 100-miler all started together. And I think for about the first couple miles, there are quite a few people close together. You know, it's not like you can like move out to the right or the left. You know, there's a lot of it single track, so there are some danger. Of course, once the race gets going, people get spread out, it's okay. But when you get in the aid station, and if you're forgetting to cover yourself, or they forget to cover themselves, there's some danger there. That's why I like the way Tejas Trails has been doing their events. You know, they spread it out over 3 days. The challenging part is, you know, like I started on a Friday for Cactus Rose. Sometimes it's hard to get off work, you know, to do something like that. But it's nice because they spread it out over 3 days, and not only the cutoff time is a lot longer. They give you the same cutoff times. If you start on a Friday, you get a lot more time, but it also spreads everyone out. When I started at Cactus Rose, I mean, I started with about five or six people. And most of them tore off way ahead of me, so I was by myself, you know, after a quarter mile. But that wasn't the case at Jalapeno 100. There was quite a few of us close together for probably the first 2 miles, so it was a bit dangerous. Now they did have a lot of safety things in place. You know, even when I picked up my number, my bib, and my everything, you know, everyone's wearing a mask, and they checked my temperature and wrote it down and do all this. But when the race started, I think that's where the danger was. They did try to do the best they can on it. But overall, I think Jalapeno 100 was a great idea for myself jumping into it. Ended up doing pretty well, and I was bored. I wanted to do something, and I was disappointed I had to drop out of Cactus Rose. In hindsight, I wish I would have signed up for Cactus Rose 100 miler. I think I could have finished that, but after 50 miles at Cactus Rose, I realized that calculating the times, I would probably have to run like 2.5 days to finish the 150 miles. And on that technical course, I don't think I would have made it. So, I mean, you know how it is. If you DNF at 125, you DNF at 50 miles, the same thing. So I'm glad I did that. But it was nice to jump in another race like Jalapeno 100 and get it done. So, today's November 20th, and you know, Thanksgiving's coming up. There's not much going on. I'm thinking about maybe tomorrow going out and doing the Goodwater Loop, which is a 26-mile loop around Lake Georgetown, which is close to where I live. And, you know, just running some of these long trail runs on my own, you know, you got to be safe, you know. Even in my area, which is fairly not, is well, it's not hit too hard by Corona, but still, it's 2.5% or something like that. I was looking at the data the other day, so you got to be careful. You can't even really go to the store right now. So, doing a lot of running by myself in my neighborhood, and may do some long trail runs out at the lake, and you know, that's nice. I would rather race, but it's just not really practical right now. So let's see, in December I might do 150K that's close to my house. I haven't decided yet or not. I did it last year. I mean, it's literally 3 miles up the road. I might do it. Let's see. But for sure, doing Bandera 100K, which is, I think, like January 9th in Bandera, Texas. Kind of a classic race here in South Texas. It'll be my fourth time. And then, which my goal is to get under 16 hours, which will qualify, be a qualifier for Western States. I've never done that, never run that course under 16 hours. So I'm going to target that. And then Rocky Raccoon at the beginning of February. And then after that, I don't have the races planned yet, mainly because a lot of them are not posted. I guess people, the race directors, don't know if they're going to be able to do them or not. I do know during the summertime I'm going to do the Captain Carl series, which is put on by Tejas Trails. They have three or four races, and you can pick either 30K or 60K, and it's completely raced at night. Those are really, really a lot of fun, and they're only at night because during the summer in Texas, you know, it's 100 degrees, so at night it's a little bit cooler. And then, so 2021 is still up in the air. I just know a few races that I'm doing in January, February, but after that, I mean, you can go on Ultra Sign Up and there ain't shit. You know, you can, even though all over the U.S., most of the race directors aren't posting the races because they're just not sure if they're going to be able to do them or not. In Houston, a big marathon was canceled 2 days ago. And in San Antonio, the Rock and Roll Marathon was canceled a few days ago. So any race that's happening near a big city is getting canceled. Nice thing about some of these trail races in Texas, especially the ones done by Tejas Trails, they're in rural areas. So like in Bandera, you know, these are towns that are like more than two hours away from the big cities, so they won't get canceled. So that's kind of what I'm targeting. If I do any races, I want to do rural races so that I know they're going to happen and there'll be fewer people, so they're a little bit safer. What else to see? I did get my new road shoes in from Ultra. I got some Torin 4.5 plushes, and I got some Paradigm 5s. Paradigm 5 is the new one that's it's a stability shoe, and like I said before, I'm a neutral runner, but they said it's good for a neutral runner too. I'm interested in it because it's got the same cushion or stack height as Olympus on the trail. So I actually got these shoes in about a week ago, but I haven't run in them yet. They're still in the box, but I plan to test these Torrens and Paradigm 5s. These are road shoes, and then I'll do a podcast on them and let you know how they go. I usually like to, you know, run in them a few times, and then we'll do a podcast and talk about how they do. But thanks for listening today. Hope everyone has a great Thanksgiving. I plan to do a few more podcasts. Maybe I'll do another one this weekend. I'm going to do one on Comrades, which is a big ultra in South Africa. Been studying that. That's definitely one I want to do in the future. But wish everybody, like I said, wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. Get out there and run. It's perfect weather to run. And if you're running and biking, you're not in the stores and stuff catching the Rona. So the more you work out, probably the safer it is. But if you have any questions for me or feedback about the podcast, feel free to send me an email at runnerrwe@gmail.com. Always welcome suggestions and feedback. And please follow me on social media, on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. I'm runnerrwe. It's all one word. And then you can follow me on Strava. I'm about 10 followers away from 1,000 followers on Strava. I'm pretty excited about that. Please follow me on Strava. I use Strava, to log all of my runs and swims and bikes, but I also use it. I post a lot of pictures and memes, try to be, you know, cartoons, try to get people laugh, and also post information about my podcast and different things. So I use Drive a little bit more in different ways than most people do. I think it's a great tool. And the nice thing is, if you're in a lot of running groups and biking groups like me on Strava, then you get a really big audience worldwide. I mean, I've got people listening to my podcast. I think I've got like 5% of my listeners are in Denmark. I think I know one person in Denmark. And then, you know, I've got listeners in Australia. These podcast tools like Anchor, which I use, are great. They give you great statistics on where the listeners are, but I have listeners all over the world. I even have one listener in Egypt, of all places. I'm excited to have listeners everywhere. Have fun on your runs or your biking or whatever adventure you're working on. And stay tuned to the next podcast. Take care. Bye-bye.